of, and that they are being treated well by the Enmen. I looked up to see Pearl's eyes, beaming with excitement. With her on my lap, our eyes were almost level. "You still want to marry me?" I whispered. "I do," she said, and grinned. "I went to battle, armed with my words, and I won the big prize. You." My eyes wouldn't stop blinking, and I frowned in confusion. I didn't feel like a prize, with my inner walls infected and bleeding still. Surely if she understood who I really was, she wouldn't sit on my lap. "What's wrong?" she asked, and caressed my face. "I'm no prize," I said, and it sounded harsher than I meant it.
"No, that came out wrong, I'm sorry. You're much more than that, of course."
"More?" I scoffed. "No, Pearl, I'm less. Far less." With ants crawling on my skin, I got up, and she almost fell down in the process. "You shouldn't have come back," I threw at her, insecurity ripping my chest open. "You're better off without me."
"No," she protested. "I'm not. Where is this coming from?"
I moved away, but she followed me, and when she reached out to touch me, I pushed her hand away and leaned back to avoid her touch. Pearl's blue eyes grew big.
"Con, why are you like this?"
"I'm just being honest with you. I should have been honest from the beginning." I shot back like a cornered animal trapped in my inner hell.
"Honest?"
"Yes. Do yourself a favor and run as far away from me as you can." I was hammering my inner walls to get through, but 7 days of fortifying my armor had left its mark.
"No."
Pearl's arms fell to her side, and compared to how radiant she had looked only moments ago, she now looked deflated and drained. It wouldn't take much to push her away now, and if I ever loved her, that's what I had to do. Pearl deserved so much more than me. "You know I only wanted you so I could gain power and influence, right?" My mouth tasted of acid when I said it, and the sad part was there was truth in that statement, as originally I had wanted that. "I wanted to rule the world," I admitted. For a moment, Pearl stared at me, and then she turned around and left my office. My shoulders and head sank as regret filled me. I had just pushed away the best thing in my life.
"It's for the best.
She's too good to live a lie." Sinking down on a chair, I leaned forward, my arms resting on my thighs, my hands in my hair, my heart fucking ripped apart.
Chapter 25. Straight Talk. Pearl. I sat on the steps outside of the manor, contemplating what Con had just told me. He wanted to rule the world and had only wanted me for influence. My mother had been right. Pulling up a handful of tall grass next to the steps, I picked each blade into tiny pieces and threw them into the air one by one in silence. Harsh words from Con certainly wasn't how I had envisioned our reunion. But after mulling it over in my head, I got up and returned to his office. He sat in a chair staring straight into the air, his arms hanging down like all energy had left him. I walked past him and took a seat on the edge of his desk.
"Did you not hear what I said?"
he asked with confusion on his face.
"I used you, Pearl, to get influence."
"I heard you," I confirmed and folded my arms. Con angled his head and leaned forward, placing his elbows on his thighs. "But all I need to know is whether or not your feelings for me are genuine. Did you ask me to marry you because you wanted influence?"
"No."
The answer flew out of him. "So you do love me." He didn't have to say it because it was right there in his eyes. The pain, the longing, and the confusion. "Then I need you to listen to me," I said calmly, and waited for him to nod that he would. "I came to set Athena free," I said. "But since I had to be here, I figured it was a chance for me to influence you in a positive way. My agenda was to convert you to our way of thinking, and for the Northlands to become part of the Motherlands. I wouldn't say that I wanted to rule the world or have power for myself, but after thinking it over, I suppose it's not far from the truth. You know I want everyone to live in harmony, and the easiest way to achieve that would be if the Council ruled the entire world. Khan leaned back in his chair, narrowing his eyes. I would like to think that my motives were purer than yours, but I'm not sure that's true. We operate from good intentions, and we both want what we think is best for our people. In many ways, that makes us equal, wouldn't you say? Pushing off from the desk, I stopped right in front of him, waiting for him to meet my eyes. And if we're really honest, we probably always knew this was about each other, didn't we?
Yeah,
he breathed. We are leaders, and leaders look for opportunities to influence. Khan rubbed the bridge of his nose. All I know for certain, I said softly, is that my motives might have been questionable at first, but somewhere along the way I fell in love with you.
That's because you don't know what a fraud I am,
he said with an undercurrent of pain. What are you talking about? Khan looked away.
I'm older than Magni, but that's the only reason I'm the ruler. He's better than me in every way. Stronger, taller, faster, and a superior fighter.
You think Magni would have been a better ruler?
Our father thought so,
he muttered. His eyes glazed over as if the sentence brought memories from his past with it. I don't care about your father's opinion. I'm asking about yours.
I don't know,
he shrugged.
I used to think Magni would be a better ruler, but after Laura messed him up.
Shaking his head, Khan finally looked up at me.
Maybe we're both too fucked up now.
Being a great ruler has nothing to do with height, fighting skills, or body mass. I arched a brow. What about the ability to motivate others? The willingness to work hard and do what is right?
You know what my father used to call me?
Khan laughed bitterly, his eyes on the floor.
He called me Sappo. And only I knew that it was short for disappointment.
Did he tell you that?
Yes, constantly.
Squatting down in front of him, I placed my hand on his knee. I'm sorry that he treated you badly, Khan. But you're talking to a woman whose mother wanted to lock her up in a place of reflection for 4 months because I disappointed her. You think that makes me a failure or a fraud? As if burned by my touch, Khan got up, walking aimlessly around while I changed position to sit on the chair he had just left. Khan, I said softly, you've got issues. His bitter laugh filled the room.
You say that as if you were stating that my hair is dark.
Because it's an obvious fact, I explained calmly. You really have issues.
You're damn right I've got issues. Big fucking ones,
he exclaimed, and banged his hand against the bookshelf behind him.
And that's why calling me your prize is a cruel joke.
His anger didn't frighten me. I could see he was hurting, but I wasn't his tormentor. His battle was with himself. Remember that day in the forest when I told you that my mind gets in my way?
Yeah.
Well, clearly you have the same problem. I think you've spent the past week worrying about things you have no control over, and telling yourself that I left you like Laura left Magni. Didn't you? The groan in the back of his throat confirmed that I was close to the truth. And then I show up, and you're pushing me to test whether I really want to be here or not.
No, that's not it.
Okay, then you explain it to me.
I can't,
he said and turned his back on me. Try. He was tensed up, his face pointing downward and his voice strained.
I can't tell you about all the shit I have locked up in my mind, okay?
What shit?
Shit better left alone.
I didn't press any further, but in my desperation to break through to him, I walked over to lean my head against his back and wrap my arms around his waist. Khan stiffened. You were scared that you'd never see me again, weren't you? I said, and tightened my hold on him. I know I was scared of never seeing you again. Slowly, I felt his shoulders relax a bit. I spent the last 7 days meditating and reflecting, and you know what I learned?
What?
He said, and a rush went through me from the subtle movement of his thumb caressing my hand as it rested on his belly button. That the person I feel most comfortable with is you.
Why?
He asked, Because I can make mistakes with you. I can be ugly with you.
Ugly?
Khan turned his head and his dark eyes searched my face. I don't worry about how I look, or how I put things when we speak. You don't care if I wrinkle my nose up, frown, or even scoff at you. I paused. It's funny, but I never realized how much effort it takes to stay positive all the time. And I've come to the conclusion that we're not supposed to. A half-laugh escaped him and he turned around, placing his arms around my waist.
You say some funny shit, Pearl.
So do you, I smiled. Remember when you told me to express my honest opinion?
Uh-huh.
And yet you weren't honest with me before, were you?
What do you mean?
You said I shouldn't have come back. Is that really how you feel? I tilted my head back.
No.
He breathed.
It's just that...
Khan folded his lower lip between his teeth, searching to find the words.
There's a lot of ugly things that you don't know about me.
Like what? He shook his head.
Dark things from my past. Memories about my father. I don't want to go there.
I know that you've killed, I said softly, and splayed my hand across his chest. I know that you can get so mad that you throw things around, and that you can be unreasonable, hurtful, jealous, possessive, and that you're a great schemer who will manipulate people to get your way. He stopped my hand on his chest.
If you know all that, then why do you even want to be with me?
Using my other hand, I trailed a finger up his chest, across his collarbone, and further up his jawline. Because for everything that's wrong about you, there's a lot more that's right about you. He drew in a deep breath and closed his eyes for a second.
I don't deserve you.
That's for me to decide.
But you don't know everything.
True. But don't forget that I first came to the Northlands with the assumption that you were a monster of a dictator. So your admission doesn't change much. I'm not here to judge you for your past. I'm here because I believe you want to find a peaceful way of living out your future.
Don't make the mistake of thinking you can manage me, or make me soft.
Khan said and brushed my hair back, tucking a strand behind my ear.
I honestly thought I'd lost you. I was sure the council would convince you that marrying me would be a mistake. And hell, if they didn't succeed, my admission of being a power-hungry fraud should have convinced you to run back home.
He creased his brow.
You know that every normal person would have left by now, right?
You mean every normal person who hasn't spent an entire week meditating and reflecting to find tolerance and acceptance?
Yeah.
He squeezed both my hands. Truth be told, I said, low. Your vulnerability only makes me love you more.
My vulnerability?
He wrinkled his nose.
You should be repulsed by my vulnerability. That's a fucking weakness.
I gave him a sad smile and caressed his chin again. That's the N-man in you speaking. You think real men can't be vulnerable and show emotions, but you're wrong. You're not some one-dimensional rock who feels nothing. And I'm glad I got to see this side of you, too. Khan leaned his forehead against mine.
Just never call me sensitive or I'll fucking feel like a wuss.
You're not a wuss, I laughed with tears pressing. You're the strongest and bravest man I know. I saw moisture in his eyes before he closed them.
How can you say that?
It was brave of you to admit your agenda when you could have lost me, I told him. I think it'll make us stronger for having had this straight talk.
God, I love you,
he whispered.
I'm so fucking drawn to you.
Khan had told me he loved me before, but it still felt good to hear it after his attempt to push me away.
Magni is still convinced that you're a spy, but I know with every fiber of my body that you're not, and that you're not choosing me because of my title or my money.
You've got that right, I chuckled. And he placed a kiss on my nose before he pulled me back with another thoughtful expression.
I never expected to find a partner in a woman,
he mused.
A wife to give me heirs, sure. But the way you and I discuss for hours, strategize and banter like equals.
He shook his head a bit.
At times it drives me insane that you won't just follow my orders like everyone else. But another part of me enjoys that you're not giving in. You're so goddamn strong. Beautiful, brave, and wise.
And madly in love with you, I added. I think it's because being with you forces me to be my highest self.
Huh?
If you had been a Motlander, you would have praised me and showered me with affirmation all the time. It's what we do.
I've just told you that you're beautiful and wise,
he pointed out. True. And because you don't give out many compliments, the few you give matter so much more. Still, these past months with you, I've learned not to rely on others for affirmation, but to find my strength within. I'm learning how to fill myself up.
I thought I was pretty good at filling you up.
Khan's sudden flirtatious tone made me grin. Yeah, physically, you definitely fill me up just fine. I lifted up on my toes to place a kiss on his lips and nuzzle his neck.
And how about I fill you up right now?
Khan brushed his thumb across my lips with one hand and pulled me close with the other. Khan, I laughed when he pulled up my shirt and deepened his kiss.
Just give me a second, and I'll prove it,
he said, planting kisses down my neck. Wait, I brought something for you today. I quickly retrieved a bag from outside. Remember, I told you about the spray, I said, closing the door and fishing out a small bottle. If you spray this on your shaft, you won't impregnate me. Khan grabbed the bottle and lifted it to stare at the small thing. Sperm-killing hygiene product, it said on the side.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He exclaimed and threw the bottle on the desk, returning his full attention on me.
No fucking way am I jeopardizing my sperm count by spraying anything on my cock. Did you ever consider that momsy boys have used too much of that shit and that's why they're all sterile?
I looked down at the bottle. It's not a permanent thing, it washes off.
Maybe, but we'll never find out because I'm never using it.
He stated loud and clear. But wouldn't it be nice to get to know each other and have some time before we have children?
We'll have at least 9 months,
he pointed out, his eyes roaming up and down my body while his lips curled up in a lustful grin.
And that's plenty.
I opened my mouth to speak, but Khan stopped me with another kiss, his hands grabbing onto my dress and pulling it up. You want to do it here? I asked in between his kisses.
You have a problem with me fucking you in my office?
He asked in a low, sultry voice. My hands pulling at the hem of his shirt answered that question.
I'm going to make you happy that you didn't take my advice and run when I asked you to,
he muttered in between kisses. You'd better, I teased playfully.
Hang on.
He didn't let go of me, but moved us close enough to the door that he could lock it, and then he backed me to his desk, getting me undressed in the process. Our clothes were spread all over the floor, but all I could see was the large man pushing me down to sit on his desk and kneeling down in front of me, grasping my thighs and lifting me to the very edge of his table, telling me to place my legs over his shoulders. Supporting myself on my elbows to see better, I had the thought that the butterflies caught in my belly would fill the whole room if they escaped somehow. Khan had never gone down on me before. We had made love in different positions, but this was new. And the way he held my gaze for a long second, shooting me one last hungry smile before he buried his head between my thighs, made me hold on to the desk, as if the butterflies would lift me in the air if I didn't anchor myself. Ah! I couldn't hold back a moan when his warm tongue licked my folds and settled on the magical knob that made rational women do silly things. Oh my, I breathed and leaned my head back, spreading my legs further, completely surrendering to Khan's talent. Yes, this man certainly has qualities.
You like it?
He asked somewhere in the distance, and I answered with a strained, uh-huh. This was exquisite, and without thinking, my hands wove into his dark hair, pulling his head closer, signaling to him that I wanted more. My hips wouldn't stay still, and his satisfied groan only aroused me further. I want to feel you inside me, I said, and opened my eyes to meet his hooded dark ones. Khan looked like a predator locked on its target when he got up and pulled his pants down, letting his cock out to play, rock hard and wet with pre-cum.
Slow or fast?
He asked hoarsely, but didn't wait for my answer. I arched up when he entered me.
Christ, you're wet,
he said, and leaned down to suckle on my hard nipples. It was like every nerve ending on my body was on fire, and I lost all inhibition in my desperation to make him move inside me. I needed him to create friction, not stall and play with my breasts. Con, I moaned, and moved my hips. I want to feel you move inside me.
Fast or slow?
He repeated. Fast. Con complied, and once again I grabbed a firm hold on the now rocking desk. I should have known his going fast meant a shorter time before he came. It was magical while it lasted, but it ended way too soon.
I'm sorry,
he panted, resting his head on my chest.
You have no idea how good you feel. I thought I could control it, but you're so tight and I couldn't stop.
I smiled, enjoying the closeness between us. It's okay, I said and nuzzled his nape. How long do you need? Con lifted his head.
For what?
How long before you're ready for round two? I clarified.
Oh.
The lines by his eyes crinkled.
About the time it'll take us to go to the bedroom, I think.
How about we take a shower together? I asked, and felt aroused from the memory of the last time we had been in the shower together, back when he had tied me to him. The sexy grin on Khan's face told me he remembered, too.
Are you going to undress this time, or do you need me to do it for you again?
He asked with burning eyes. We'll see, I teased. There's something I want to try in the shower.
And what would that be?
He asked, nuzzling his head against mine. I want to taste you too. Khan's head whipped up and his eyes rounded.
You want to suck me?
Only if you want me to. He nodded.
Fuck yes, but it's probably not a good idea. I want it to be good for you this time.
I'm not worried. We have all night and every night from now on, I said seductively, and gently lifted his hand, placing his thumb on my lips and slowly twirling my tongue around it. His eyes were fixed on my mouth sucking his thumb, and he exhaled a breathy, fuck. I felt powerful in that moment and in control, but it lasted only a few moments before Khan pulled away and started picking up my clothes from the floor.
We're going to take that shower right now, but you need to dress before we walk out of my office,
he instructed. So do you. I laughed as he put on only his briefs and waited by the door with the rest of his clothes in his hand.
I don't care if anyone sees me half naked, but no one is going to feast their eyes on your delicious body. Hurry up,
he said impatiently. And as soon as I was decent, we ran through the house with him holding my hand and pulling me eagerly with him. 2 minutes later, he was undressing me again, and this time it was in the shower, with the water coming from 5 different angles.
I've dreamt of taking you in here ever since that day we were tied together,
he muttered against my ear and bit my earlobe. That day, I said and helped remove my shirt. I wanted you to. Con narrowed his eyes, looking skeptical.
I thought I scared you.
You did. And I was humiliated by being tied to you, but in the shower. I trailed off when he swallowed my mouth and raked his tongue over the edge of my teeth.
Did you like it when I undressed you?
He whispered huskily. I didn't want to like it, but my body was aroused by you and...
And what?
Opening my pants, Khan tugged them halfway down my thighs like they had been that day. And when you pressed against me from behind, it made me curious. Water was running down his face and chest, and this time I looked my fill. Khan was exquisite. How could I not have found him the most beautiful man when I first saw him? He was strong and toned, and my hands lifted to trail the large tattoo on his shoulder and neck that fascinated me. You're beautiful, I said, and really meant it.
You didn't think so that day,
he reminded me with a smug smile and grabbed my wrists, forcing them to the wall as he turned me around.
That day you whimpered when I had you pressed against the wall like this.
I didn't speak, but closed my eyes to enjoy the lust surging through me.
Remember how I touched you?
He asked, releasing my wrists and kneading my hips like he had then.
You were so fucking hot, and I wanted to shove myself inside you and make you scream out my name. My breathing grew heavier when Khan repeated the movements from that day and slid his cock against my behind. It was hard to stand still when I wanted badly to do all the things we hadn't done back then.
"Would you have liked it, if I had entered you?"
he asked in a sultry voice close to my ear. "Yes," I breathed. Khan moved his cock to my entrance, still holding me in a tight grip exactly like that day.
"Like this?"
he asked, and fisting my long hair, he pulled my head back, biting my neck. I arched my back, showing my lust with low moans of excitement.
"Would you have fought me if I'd taken you like this?"
He didn't finish his sentence before he pushed hard inside me. "Yes," I gasped, because my mind would have objected back then, and I probably would have fought him.
"Or would you have surrendered like a good girl?"
he asked, and pumped slowly in and out of me. "Would you like me to have surrendered?" I asked with all my nerve endings on fire from his large shaft expanding my inner walls in a delicious rhythm. He didn't answer, but pulled out, turned me around and lifted me onto his hips, pressing my back against the wall, and slowly continuing his sexy assault on my senses. "Or would you have liked it if I had fought you?" I asked in a warm, breathy voice against his ear.
"No."
"Why not?"
"Because rape doesn't turn me on."
I leaned back, allowing the combination of his kisses on my neckline and deep thrusts inside of me. He was feasting on me. His eyes, his hands, his erection, his mouth, and his tongue were all finding ways to see, touch, taste, and take me. And I loved every second of it. Unlike in the office when he had come quickly, Khan seemed determined to make it last and focus on me. He changed between positions until one hit a magical spot inside of me that had me panting and screaming out his name. "Yes, yes, harder," I begged as my mind overdosed on lucid euphoria.
"Come, babe, let go,"
Khan encouraged. But I already had. My inner walls cramped around his length as if my uterus was sucking every drop of semen from him. It was primeval and raw, and for once we weren't thinking or analyzing. We were as primitive as the first humans on Earth, controlled by our programming to breed. Chapter 26. Thank You. Pearl. As we flew over water, I yawned and stretched against the smooth seats in Khan's fancy drone. Like all the drones and hybrids I'd seen here in the Northlands, Khan's was bigger, faster, and sleeker than any in the Motherlands. The interior was elegant and beautifully crafted, with amazing details that would have impressed me if not for the fact that the interior was mostly covered with white leather. Something I found disturbing, to say the least.
"Sorry for keeping you awake last night."
Khan's words were contradicted by his cocky grin. "I thought I was the one keeping you awake," I replied lightly, and snuggled up against his large frame. It had been a bumpy reunion after I returned last night to the Northlands, but after 3 rounds of amazing sex, the last including my desire to taste him, we had fallen asleep, wrapped up in each other's arms, and slept like babies. Khan kissed the top of my head before pointing his finger.
"Boulder's Island."
"You mean Victoria's Island?" I grinned. "She had it first."
"Nah, I think the indigenous people had it way before Victoria put claim to it."
"Who was this Victoria?" I asked. "Do you know?" He nodded.
"Some queen from the old days."
"Look, there's the school." I leaned forward. "I can't wait to see how far the project has come."
"It's almost done,"
Khan noted.
"Boulder has outdone himself. You won't recognize the old church. He's had his people working on it night and day to get it ready."
"Wow." As I took in the area from above, I spotted a man coming out of the building to look up with a hand shielding the sun. I guessed it to be Archer, but we were too high up for me to be sure. "Did you tell Archer and Kaya that they're going to share the responsibility and lead the school together?" Khan arched a brow.
"Oh, they discovered that all by themselves, and came to confront Christine and Boulder about it.
I wasn't there, but from what Boulder said, it was dramatic.
What happened?
I didn't ask about the details.
Why not? I asked, disappointed that he didn't have more to share with me.
It's irrelevant. All I need to know is that Kaya and Archer will work their asses off to make these kids the prime of our nations.
And they committed to that?
Apparently.
He said.
Kaya threatened to go back home, saying Archer was stubborn and unwilling to compromise. But since she didn't, I'm assuming that she and Archer have both accepted that this is a shared project.
Khan looked down, too.
Do you want to stop here first?
No, I think Christina and Boulder would be disappointed if we didn't let them show it to us. With a nod of agreement, Khan let the drone continue a few miles further north, where it parked itself in front of Boulder's estate. Christina flung her arms around me when she came out to greet us. I was so worried the council wouldn't let you come back here, she said with her eyes big and round. I had always been fascinated that she had two different eye colors, one eye blue and the other hazel green. They took me to a place of reflection, I said, knowing she would understand. When Christina held a hand to her mouth, I placed my hand on her shoulder. I know. And they were planning to keep me there for 4 months. Her eyes grew moist. It's always been my nightmare to end up in a place of reflection. I know they don't hurt people, and I have friends that have loved it. But to have your freedom taken like that, well, it scares me to my core. I nodded. So what made them change their minds? My eyes softened as I broke into a grateful smile. Your video did. Christina gaped.
Did you hear that, Boulder?
She called over her shoulder. Boulder, who was greeting Khan, came closer.
Did I hear what?
Pearl says it was our video that convinced the council to let her return here.
For real?
He lit up, making his gray eyes look even more piercing than ever. It didn't surprise me that he no longer had a clean shave like he'd had in the video, and that stubble was back on his cheeks. What surprised me was that I thought it looked good on him. I am deeply grateful to you all. My tone was serious and tender.
Anytime.
Boulder placed his arm around Christina's neck with a self-satisfied smile. Where's Kaya? I asked.
At the school with Magni and Archer, Boulder answered. She's getting everything ready for the students.
I saw Raven in the video, I told them. She looked adorable.
She is.
Boulder placed a kiss on Christina's head and laughed.
I had no idea little girls could be so cute.
Boulder is completely besotted with Raven, Christina laughed. She already has him wrapped around her finger. I can't even imagine what's going to happen when 8 more girls are coming.
You mean 7? I said. Raven is already here. No, actually, 8 more are coming, Christina insisted. I frowned. But we always said 8 girls and 2 boys. Now you're talking about 9 girls? Yes, but one of the girls is an assistant to me. Really? I said, surprised, and turned to Khan. Did you approve of this? Christina didn't let him answer. Don't worry, Pearl. Once you understand why, you'll agree it was the right decision. I'm listening. As you know, many of our girls have some trauma in their past, which was a concern Kaya and I raised with your mother while you were gone. Kaya has specialized in that type of children, but the transition from the Motherlands to the Northlands alone can be traumatizing. So we were asking Isabel to locate at least one who could counterbalance the group as being healthy and happy. And? And Isabel managed to convince one of her colleagues on the council to volunteer her daughter. How? I said, surprised. And who are we talking about? Shianna Renee from the Brown area. She has 2 daughters? I asked. Yes, and her only condition was that her older would go with the younger or she wouldn't send them. What are their names? The younger sister is Rochelle, and she is 11. The older girl, Shelley, just turned 15. 15? Then she's too young to be your assistant, I said quickly. She's a child herself, and at that difficult age. Khan and I specifically agreed to avoid teens, I pointed out.
Shelley is no ordinary teen, Boulder said. According to your mother, she's a genius and already finished her schooling.
Finished her schooling? Nobody has finished their schooling at 15. Shelley skipped several classes and graduated before time.
Christina explained. Both girls are way above average, and hopefully you can see how that can make things easier for us, especially if we want the boys to understand that girls are highly intelligent. But 15, I said again. Shelley has agreed to spend at least 1 year as an assistant here at the school before going to college. I sighed. Okay, I suppose it's too late to change anyway.
Want to see how the school looks now?
Boulder asked and changed the subject. Softened by his obvious pride, I agreed. Yes, I would love to. The school was spectacular, and outshone the vision I'd had when we first came to see it with Boulder and Christina. Back then, it had been an old, neglected building, but now it had sprung back to life. Wow, I said and nodded to Boulder. You have reason to be proud.
There are still some details missing,
he explained and pointed to the solar roof. But I lost my concentration when he went into details. My eyes were fixed on the girl that walked toward me holding Kaya's hand. May peace surround you, I said when she ran the last few meters to meet me with her hands outstretched. She was tall enough to reach my chest and looked up at me with large brown doe eyes. Her skin color was light brown like Kaya's, and they could have been mother and daughter by their looks. I wondered if that was the reason Kaya felt so attached to Raven.
May peace surround you too,
Raven said in a sweet voice, and held my gaze for 10 seconds like a good girl. I'm delighted to meet you, I smiled warmly. My name is Pearl, and I've heard so much about you.
I've heard about you too,
Raven replied, and letting go of my left hand, she pulled at my right, tugging me with her.
Can I show you something?
All right. I followed her, smiling to Archer and Kaya, and signaling that I would be right back to talk to them. On our way to the entrance, I spotted Magni coming out of the woods.
It's right in here,
Raven said excitedly and sped up her steps. Curious to see what she wanted to show me, I followed her inside the school.
Do you see it?
She asked and let go of my hand to push back her curly black hair, but the unruly strands immediately fell back in her eyes. The girl needs a hairband, I noted practically, and turned my attention to the room, inspecting the tables, chairs, shelves, and posters on the wall. What is it? I asked, silently approving the clever way the room had been divided into zones with the use of colored rugs. A huge multicolored one was round, and a pile of fluffy pillows lay on top. Raven followed my eyes.
That's the cozy corner.
Is that what you wanted to show me? I asked with a smile.
Sort of, but not exactly.
She tugged at my hand again before she ran over and lay down.
It's better if you lie down next to me. You'll see it then.
She said and waited for me to join her. We lay shoulder to shoulder and, looking up at the high ceiling of the room, I finally saw what Raven wanted me to see. In beautiful large letters it said, a little girl grew up to become a strong woman, determined to break down walls and build bridges of friendship in the world. What challenges will you grow up and help solve? My eyes continued to the opposite side of the ceiling, and I had to crane my neck to see it, as it was written in the opposite direction. Most Motlanders believe N-men are monsters. Most N-men believe Motlanders are weak and silly. But you are not most. You're one of the few who know better. Are you going to speak up?
Do you like it?
Raven asked me, and turned her head to look at me. Because we were so close, I could see her tongue playing with a wiggly tooth in the back of her mouth, and I couldn't help notice that she had a small booger in her right nostril. I love it, I said and turned my head back to see it again. Who painted it?
Sina and Kaya did, and I helped.
Sina?
That's what Kaya calls Christina.
I see, and you helped them?
Uh-huh, sorta.
She shrugged.
My job was to distract Archer and Magni. I'm good at that.
Why did you need to distract them?
Because Kaya didn't want to dirty her clothes and it was boiling warm up there.
She pointed to the high vaulted ceiling.
So she climbed up in her underwear only.
Ah, I nodded in understanding. Raven wrinkled her nose.
The men fight over Kaya, and Christina said Magni would go crazy if he saw her flaunt her skin to Archer.
And did you manage to distract them?
She shrugged. More or less.
What did you mean when you said that the men fight over Kaya?
Oh, they're scary when they get angry.
Her eyes grew big.
Do you know what I'll fucking castrate you means?
She asked innocently. Who said that?
Magni shouted it at Archer and he didn't seem to like it.
No, men don't like to hear that. But it's not something you need to concern yourself with, sweetie. Raven gave me a conspiratorial look.
Boulder says? Archer better learn to back down or Magni will surely kill him in a fit of rage. But Archer isn't afraid of anyone. He told me so himself.
Violence is never a good thing, I said solemnly.
I know, but...
Raven narrowed her eyes with a thoughtful expression. What?
I still like that Archer doesn't let Magni push him around.
You like Archer?
Uh-huh.
But not Magni.
Yes, I like him too. He's nice to me. And you know what, Pearl?
What?
Magni says that he's going to teach me how to fight like a real warrior.
He is?
Uh-huh.
Raven placed her tongue between her lips in concentration and jabbed into the air. Just remember you can't use it on anyone outside of training, okay? I reminded her.
I know.
She turned and gave me a wide smile, and I couldn't help look at that little booger again. Sweetie, you have something in your nose.
Where?
She planted a finger up her left nostril. No, the other one. I instructed with a patient smile. Raven sat up, and after digging around, she leaned her head back, showing me her nose and asking,
Did I get it?
Yes, you got it.
Great.
Using her hands, she pushed up from the floor and walked toward the exit.
Are you coming? The tour isn't over, you know.
I enjoyed spending time with Raven, and it was interesting that the things she wanted me to see were so different from the details the adults were concerned about. First, there was the place the honey and cookies were kept in the kitchen. Next, there were her insights on which bed she would choose in each room. And then we arrived at a single room that I guessed to be Archer's, because of the pair of black boots on the floor.
Shh.
She put a finger to her lips.
Don't tell the adults, but I know how to spy on them.
You do? I whispered. She nodded and looked over her shoulder.
But you can't tell them that I told you so.
I didn't answer, but was honored that Raven evidently trusted me with her secrets, although we hardly knew each other.
If the door is askew and you squeeze up against the wall like this, you can see through the crack of the door without them seeing you,
she revealed with a secretive glance. Do you think it's okay to spy on people? I whispered. A little triangle formed between her eyebrows.
It's not like they ever do anything interesting,
she defended herself. But still... Her shoulders fell.
No, I guess not.
I nodded, satisfied, and pulled at her shirt. Can I ask you something?
Yeah?
She turned her full attention on me.
What is it?
Why are you telling me your secrets? She shot a glance at the exit and looked thoughtful.
I'm not supposed to tell you, but Caius is lying is bad, so I can't do that either. It's because the adults asked me to keep you distracted.
Why? I asked curiously, proud of her for telling the truth. As a councilwoman, honesty and integrity were on the top of my list of values.
Because they want to surprise you.
She bit her lips and narrowed her eyes, as if squeezing in the secret so it didn't slip out.
I'm not allowed to tell you because it'll ruin the surprise.
Okay, I understand. And how long are you supposed to distract me for?
Until they come and get us.
All right. I looked around. So, this is Archer's room, isn't it? I said, to make small talk.
Yeah, but it's the same with Kaya's and Magni's room. You can spy through their door, too.
My spine stiffened. Did you say Kaya's and Magni's room?
Uh-huh.
She pointed to a door across the hallway.
It's that one.
The door was open and I peeked in, seeing one twin-sized bed, a chair, a closet, and a small desk. The only logical conclusion was that Kaya was forced to sleep with the largest brute in the Northlands in a bed that was small enough to guarantee he would be touching her. Bending down to look Raven straight in the eyes, I placed my hands on her shoulders and hid the tremor in my voice, Is Magni sleeping in Kaya's room?
Ahem.
The sound of a male clearing his throat behind me made me straighten up and turn to see Magni. Oh, Mother Nature. I'd forgotten just how much of a giant he was. And did he wear all that leather just to get on my nerves? Magni had shaved the sides of his head, and the rest of his hair was made into a rough, dirty blonde braid. With his scars, it made him resemble a Viking warrior from the past.
"Welcome back, Pearl,"
he said, but there was no joy in his eyes. "Thank you." My words were clipped as I was stunned with disappointment that Khan would have ordered Magni to sleep in Kaya's room when I'd specifically told him I wouldn't allow it. It was hard enough for me to accept that Khan insisted his brother watch over Kaya as if Archer was a danger to her. Personally, I trusted Archer more than Magni. But Khan saw it differently, arguing that Magni was already married, whereas Archer would be longing for a wife, and was therefore more likely to try something stupid.
"They're waiting for you outside,"
Magni said impassively. Raven skipped along, clearly excited about the surprise, and I walked out to see Boulder, Khan, Archer, Christina, and Kaya waiting outside, and Raven joining their group.
"You have to come over here,"
Khan instructed, and when I did, he spun me around and pointed to the entrance where a sign hung. Pearl Pelotes School of Inclusion. "You named the school after me?" I said, deeply touched.
"Of course. It was your idea to begin with,"
Khan said, and pulled me against his chest, resting his head on my shoulder from behind. "Thank you so much." I smiled at them all, holding back from turning to confront Khan with the situation about Kaya and Magni.
"Sorry that we didn't have the sign ready when you arrived, but good thing that Raven was here to keep you occupied while we mounted it, huh?"
Boulder tussled Raven's hair.
"You did good, Shorty."
She grinned up at him, clearly enjoying the attention. "Kaya, do you mind if I have a word with you? I just have a few questions," I said and smiled innocently.
"Of course."
Kaya spread her hands, signaling she was open for any question. "It's easier if we go into the classroom," I suggested, and led the way to get her out of ear's reach of the others. "Isn't it amazing?" she said when we were alone in the old church room, now turned classroom. "I love the mix of old and new in here, and I'm sure Raven showed you the ceiling."
"Yes," I looked up. "It's wonderful. You know, the little girl that grew up is you, right?"
Kaya was looking up at the ceiling. "I figured, and I'm deeply honored. Thank you," I smiled. "But Kaya..." My tone turned low and serious. "Are you okay?"
"Yes, why wouldn't I be?"
She angled her head with a small smile. "Magni, has he been behaving?" I asked. She looked back over her shoulder before meeting my eyes with a serious expression.
"He takes his duties as my protector very seriously."
"Has he touched you?" Her forehead furrowed.
"Yeah, but nothing I can't handle."
A small scoff escaped me. "I don't think any woman could handle him if he became determined that he wanted something from you. He's strong as an ox." Her eyes rounded.
"Wait, are you afraid of him hurting me?"
"You can tell me if he has," I said in a low, solemn voice. Kaya scrunched up her face and gave a small, incredulous laugh.
"You don't know Magni very well, do you?"
"What do you mean?"
"I specialize in troubled children. Magni is an adult version of my students. Angry, confused, and too stubborn for his own good, but I don't see him hurting me."
Pulling air deep into my lungs, I kept my voice calm. "Kaya, please don't confuse Magni with a child that you can control. He can be mean and violent. If you don't believe me, just ask Christina. Both she and I have seen his fits of violence firsthand."
"I have no doubt he can be mean. But so far he hasn't hurt me. I get the feeling he'll protect me with his life, and Christina says that watching over me has given him a new purpose and restored a bit of his pride. Apparently, he took it very hard when his wife left him."
"That would be an understatement," I muttered. "But it truly surprises me that you don't seem intimidated by the man at all." Kaya's amber-brown eyes softened in laughter. Maybe that's because the first time I met Boulder and Magni was in my own house, and they were dressed up as Motlanders, clean-shaven and all. Maybe. No, you don't understand, she chuckled. Magni had blue ribbons in his hair and makeup on to hide his scars, and if he ever gets too grumpy or rough with me, I'm going to remind him. A calmness spread in my stomach. We had made a good choice with Kaya. If anyone could handle these boys and men, it was her. The only problem is, Kaya sighed and looked down. Magni isn't always nice to Archer, and I've told him over and over that I need to work closely with Archer, but Magni misinterprets our behavior and gets too protective. It's almost suffocating sometimes. Yeah, Raven told me they've been fighting over you. Kaya folded her arms around her waist. Yes. Yesterday I was really excited when Archer finally agreed to something he's been opposing, so I hugged him. Magni saw. Yes, and he attacked Archer because of it. Yeah, Archer doesn't have the right to touch you. Only a protector or husband has that in their world. But I was the one hugging him. So don't. I'm trying, but I'm a kinesthetic person and a hugger by nature. I really wish Magni would cut it out because it's like being caught with crazy brown bears when they attack. Archer should know not to touch you. No, he shouldn't. I want to teach them that touch is natural and doesn't have to be sexual at all. I see. Okay, I'll have Khan talk to Magni about it. And I'm going to address the fact that Magni sleeps in your room, too. I puffed out air. That wasn't part of the deal, and I'm surprised Christina hasn't objected on your behalf. I wouldn't want Magni anywhere near my bed, and you shouldn't be forced to either. What's wrong with him sleeping in my room? She asked. Wrong? I furrowed my brow. Are you saying you don't mind sharing your bed with him? I asked incredulously. Magni is a bit much, but he's been nice to me. And Raven and I really don't mind him sleeping in my room since she and I sleep at the manor anyway. Hold on. I held up a hand. So you don't share a bed with Magni? Her brown eyes filled with laughter again. Oh, now I understand. You thought he and I slept in the bed together? Yes. She waved a hand in the air. No, we don't. Phew, I breathed, and felt my shoulders relax a little. It's just that Raven pointed to your room saying it was yours and Magni's. Because he stays there now, and I will later, Kaya explained. At least that was the original plan, but Boulder has come up with a better one. He's building cabins on the ground that will offer a bit more privacy. We'll take shifts supervising the children at night. And when you move out of Boulder's and Christina's house, will Magni sleep with you then? No, he won't be sleeping with me, she assured me. At least not that I know of. Good. I was walking outside to look for Khan when I heard hushed voices around the corner of the house. Normally, councilwomen don't eavesdrop. We're supposed to be above that sort of disgraceful behavior. But I froze to the ground when I recognized Magni's voice and got an eerie tingling sensation in the back of my neck.
You were there. What do you mean you don't remember where it was?
Magni said.
I was so occupied with bringing Christina home that I didn't think about where the crossing was.
The voice was easily recognizable as Boulder's.
Just tell me again, what was the name of the town? What do you need to know?
Magni hissed low.
Your wife is here now, isn't she? Just fucking tell me.
Boulder hissed back.
Fine. The town is called Northgate. And you remember the name of the guy, right? Yeah, Jackass Johnny, who can forget his skinny ass?
I didn't need to hear more. With a racing heart, I moved away considering the revelation. The man had a way of getting into the Motherlands. That's how Magni had kidnapped Athena, and how Boulder had retrieved Christina. As a member of the Council, I had sworn to serve the Motherlands, and the passage Boulder and Magni had whispered about was a security risk if there ever was one. There was only one thing to do, but I needed to think this through and come up with a plan on how to do it right.
Chapter 27 Showers and Massage Khan. Pearl and I stayed and had lunch with the others. Real food for the men, green stuff for the women. Excited that the project was coming along, everyone was in a good mood, except Pearl, who for some reason seemed tense and withdrawn. I knew her well enough to recognize that something was troubling her. Trying to think back, I searched for something I might have said wrong, but nothing came up. She had seemed genuinely happy about my decision to name the school after her. So why is she cooler to me than she was this morning? Archer went over a list of the 10 boys he had chosen for the school, and as I had requested, they were all on the older side. I may have been open to many of Pearl's ideas, but ultimately I still wanted the girls to fall in love with my boys over the next 3 years and hopefully want to stay. Again, the idea of young love and teen pregnancies gave me a surge of excitement. One could only hope.
"So, what are their names again?"
Pearl asked Archer. He projected the first file up in front of us, and the hologram of a boy showed up. He looked fit and had large green eyes and straight dark hair. "This is Storm. He's 13 and from the East Coast." Another boy came up. "This is Hunter. He's the boy you requested." Archer looked at Pearl, who leaned forward.
"So this is Willow's twin brother, the boy we knew as Jeremy before he came here?"
Pearl asked softly. "Yes, that's him. But he has no idea he has a sister, and we haven't told him yet. None of the boys know that there will be girls at their new school. All they've been told is that they've been selected for a new experimental school, and I think we should expect some of them to be resistant to coming here," Archer informed us. "Being uprooted from your friends without knowing where you're going isn't easy for anyone."
"Good point, Archer." Pearl turned to Kaya. "But the girls all know, right?" "Yes, the girls have been told they are selected to live in the Northlands, and they've been assured that they will be safe and will make lots of new friends." "Still, I predict they're going to be scared when they arrive," Christina said, and looked around the table. "Maybe you guys could all shave to look less intimidating."
"Not a fucking chance," Magni muttered, and I silently agreed. "I'll shave," Boulder said, and received a grateful smile from Christina. "But I won't," Archer said. "I doubt my stubble is scary to them." A hologram of a third boy showed up. He was blonde and very handsome, with large blue eyes. "This is Solo. His full name is Solomon, named after King Solomon, and he's 14 years old and excels in physical agility and strength." After that came Nero, Nathan, Oscar, Sultan, William, Plato, and Nicola.
"But wait a minute, there's not a single 10-year-old," Pearl said with a baffled expression. "The idea was to find children as young as possible, so they would have at least 3 years together. Your boys move on when they're 15. Some of the boys will only have a year or two."
"True, but then new ones will come in," I argued.
"But we want them to form deep friendships," Pearl said.
"Which is why we've selected the best boys, chosen for their openness." I didn't mention that looks and charm had been a criterion, too. I wasn't stupid. I had told Archer to find the bravest, brightest, strongest, and best-looking boys in the whole country. If these boys were to represent us in the Motherlands, I would make damn sure we sent young men who would ignite sexual desire and activate a fireworks display of hormones in the Momsey girls. Pearl narrowed her eyes and shot me a suspicious glance, but she didn't pursue it any further when Archer said, "All the boys will arrive on Tuesday while the girls arrive Monday." We agreed it was good to give the girls a day to acclimate before letting them meet their new classmates, and the plan is that when the boys arrive on Tuesday, all the girls will be here at Boulder's house with Christina and Kaya. Archer had a very authoritarian voice, and with the way he took over the room, it was easy to see why he would be a good mentor. He might be young, but Archer was an alpha to the core. "That way we can get the boys settled and give them instructions before we introduce them to the girls." "Okay," I said. "Sounds reasonable to me." "Yes, and with the girls arriving Monday, we have only 3.5 days to get the last things ready," Boulder added. "Christina and I will pick them up by the border and make sure they get safely to the school." What if someone sees them? Pearl asked. They won't, Christina said firmly. The council has given me permission to pick up the girls in the Motherlands. No one will see them.